Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. Excited for another big show today. I'll unveil my final Warriors big board and discuss how Monday's moves impact our title chances. All of that is coming up.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is officially an arms race in the NBA, a wild Monday, wild start to this offseason. On Monday, the trade moratorium was lifted, and what ensued was a tidal wave of rumors and star trades immediately that dramatically reshaped the landscape of the league. The first big domino to fall was Chris Paul going to the Suns. You eliminate a playoff team in the Oklahoma City Thunder, maybe creating a new one with the Phoenix Suns, and that's going to impact things in the Western Conference. But then even that actual move of a star who got MVP votes last year in Chris Paul, that was quieted by the massive and loud James Harden rumors coming out of Houston. Harden stopping just short of demanding a trade, stopping just short of a trade request. But it does seem like he may be out in Houston. And based on the tea leaves and what reports are saying from guys like Zach Lowe and Brian Windhorst and Adrian Wojnarowski, it sounds like Harden wasn't very happy with the direction that Houston was going in and may have requested this trade and may have at least been hinting toward a trade request before even Russell Westbrook did that. And Westbrook may have been reacting to Harden when Westbrook requested a trade. And now Harden is zeroing in on two targets, Philadelphia and Brooklyn. And whether or not, wherever he goes, it does seem like he's going to the Eastern Conference. I would be shocked if the Rockets traded him within the Western Conference. And based on my Twitter mentions and emails that I'm getting, Warriors fans are antsy. And Warriors fans have been antsy. And look, I get it. 15-50, not a great year. You want to get back to title contention. Make the most of Steph Curry's title window. I get it. Antsy, I get it. You ought to be antsy. But just for a little bit more perspective here, let's keep in mind what's happening. Over the last few years, Oklahoma City has gone from playoff team, from title contender to playoff team to no longer a playoff team. Kevin Durant left a year ago but went to the Eastern Conference. James Harden might be doing the same thing soon and going to the Eastern Conference. And late Monday night, early Tuesday morning, Milwaukee made a major move in trading for Jrue Holiday and Bogdan Bogdanovic from Sacramento, but finally pulling the trigger on the Jrue Holiday trade, giving up a bunch of first-round picks and Eric Bledsoe and George Hill. Those are sent over to New Orleans. New Orleans is set up well for the future. But they are not a title contender in the present. Okay? And so now you have an arms race happening, but that arms race is largely happening in the Eastern Conference. Yeah, sure, the Lakers acquired Dennis Schroeder. The Clippers will probably do something in the way of signing Rajon Rondo or making a Derrick Rose trade or something smaller like that. But the arms race is happening in the East. While much of the West is rebuilding, much of the West is being patient. You have a team like Denver now, and by the way, the Nuggets, they were a potential Jrue Holiday landing spot. No, instead, Jrue Holiday goes to the Eastern Conference instead of making the Denver Nuggets, who are in the Western Conference Finals, a stronger team. The Rockets, the only team to really push the Warriors outside of a LeBron James team the last 2 years, it looks to be on their way of disassembling. You have teams like New Orleans and Dallas, but most of what they're going to do is not this year, but in the coming years. So you have Denver, Dallas, New Orleans taking more of a patient approach. The Lakers and the Clippers, no doubt, they did their arms race last year. And now they're just filling in on the edges. They are going to be good teams, but so are the Warriors. And yeah, Milwaukee is getting better. Brooklyn might be getting better. Philadelphia might be getting better. You've got Miami doing what they're doing. Boston could still get better. You have an arms race happening in the East, but keep in mind, if the Warriors make the NBA Finals, they only have to play one of those teams. They only have to play one of those teams. They don't have to go through Giannis and Durant and Harden and Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum and Joel Embiid. They don't have to go through all of... They have to get through one of those teams if they're going to win a championship. If they make it out of the West, which their biggest competition right now is LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and what do you do about that? That's what the Warriors are asking themselves. That's why they're looking for front court help. That's why they need to make the most, by the way, of this number two pick. Within the next 2 years, they have three first-round picks. That helps you compete with Dallas and New Orleans and Denver. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and whoever else you add this offseason helps you compete with the Lakers and the Clippers. The Warriors are in good shape. They do have to make moves. I understand antsiness. They do have to make moves. They need real help in the way of depth. Probably adding another player or two in the front court, adding another player or two onto the perimeter, adding more ball handling, more shooting, more size, more athleticism. They need help, no doubt. They're not as good as the Lakers are today. They're not. The Lakers are much more top-heavy. You could argue that the Lakers have two of the top three players in the league. The Warriors have Steph Curry, a top five player, no doubt. But after that, we don't know what Klay Thompson looks like. Draymond Green is getting older. They're going to win with depth and with scheme and with chemistry. That's how the Warriors are going to win. But they need to find... They have the chemistry. They have the scheme. They have the culture. They need to find out the depth part this offseason. That's what they need. Not necessarily an arms race, no. They shouldn't be so concerned about what's going on in the East. If anything, these players leaving the West going East makes their route to the NBA Finals easier, but they have some work to do first. I want to get to my final Warriors draft big board, but first, the NBA draft is finally here, and the Locked On Podcast Network will have live draft coverage this year on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at Locked On Live. It will be the only place that you can find Chad Ford, the godfather of draft analysis, on the night of the draft. Join Chad Ford, Brad Rowland of the Locked On Hawks podcast, and David Locke for the most in-depth coverage of the NBA draft featuring analysis from Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. Follow Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch and get alerts as soon as they go live. Also, let's talk about Built Go. Whether it's for your mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. These easy-to-carry 1.5-ounce packages are perfect to bring in your briefcase or in your gym bag. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. It's like Monster, but better for you. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It comes in three delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. So how does Built Go work? Well, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, a fast-absorbing protein that promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you feel better and look better. I've been using collagen protein for years now. I could tell you firsthand, it does make you feel and look better. It's the best protein that you can find. There's a reason why it's expensive, but Built Go is offering you a great discount right now to not only combine collagen protein with an energy gel, but in a convenient and affordable way. Visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. All right, I want to get to my final draft big board here. And if you've been a longtime listener of the podcast, you kind of know where I stand, but I know a lot of people have started listening the last few days or weeks, and maybe they're not as familiar as to where I stand on this draft. And so this is a combination. This is just going to be the top five, by the way. And I'm going to go from number five to number one, ending the show with who I think is the top prospect in this draft for the Warriors. And that's a key part here. This is for the Warriors, not necessarily just top five in a vacuum, okay? But it's partly based on team need and just talent, best player available type thing. But before I get to that top five, a couple names that I just want to throw out there. Patrick Williams out of FSU has been in my top five for a long time. I've started to dial back the enthusiasm there. I think that his upside is really, really strong. And I continue to be a Patrick Williams fan. And everything I hear about him is nothing but positive. In fact, the more I hear about Patrick Williams, the more I like him. But I don't know that if you're the Warriors, he's somebody that is going to be able to contribute in a large amount of minutes right away. He mostly came off the bench for FSU. There's a lot of project stuff happening with him. He's still very raw. I think he could be a really good player in the NBA. I don't know that he's all of a sudden going to be Kawhi Leonard, which some people like to make that sort of developmental leap with him. He might be more OG Anunoby, which is a really good player. But I think if you're the Warriors, you're looking for more than that. Whenever I hear guys get compared to Kawhi Leonard or Steph Curry or Draymond Green or Bam Adebayo or stuff, I hesitate because it's so rare, if never, that these guys who get those sort of comparisons end up being those kind of players, right? And so you ask yourself, all right, what's a more apt comparison? And for a guy like Patrick Williams, maybe it is OG Anunoby. A good player, a useful player, a player the Warriors could use, by the way, especially if you're having to guard Kawhi and LeBron James in the West. I think that should factor into their math. But did not crack the top five for me here. Onyeka Okongwu, a guy who I really like out of USC. I think he is a modern-day big in so many ways. He's switchable on defense. He could do all those things that Kevon Looney can do. And if you're the Warriors and you're not sold on Kevon's long-term health, I think Onyeka Okongwu would make a lot of sense if you want to replace that sort of player at the center spot, right? Somebody who can guard several different positions, can roll to the rim, can be an athlete, can get rebounds and all those things. My only problem with him is he does not project to be much of a contributor on offense. Yeah, I think he can finish lob dunks and stuff like that, and he flashed a little bit of a mid-range game, but enough people have told me about Okongwu that his upside offensively is the big question. Now, that was a big question for Bam Adebayo. And Bam ended up becoming Bam Adebayo, and the player that we saw be, at times, the best player for the Heat in the playoffs. I think Okongwu projects similarly to him defensively, and maybe he surprises a lot of people offensively. I like Okongwu a lot, but he is just barely out of my top five, and I don't really know how comfortable I am with that. I still personally like him more than James Wiseman, but Wiseman ends up at number five for me, which may surprise, again, a lot of longtime listeners to this program. I'm still low on Wiseman. I don't trust his ball skills. I just don't think he's ever going to be a great passer. I don't think he's ever going to be a top-notch shooter. You know, I don't think he's going to be Anthony Davis or Chris Bosh. Maybe at most he can be, you know, a 30 to 34% three-point shooter a couple of years here and there. But I just don't trust the ball skills. But so enough smart people have talked to me about Wiseman that I feel weird keeping him out of my top five. And so, look, maybe I'm susceptible, but I like Okongwu more, but I'm going to put Wiseman there at number five just because enough smart people have talked about how good he could be defensively. There is so much projection happening with him, and we have so little tape on him. And I don't know what he looks like having gone, you know, having only played three games in Memphis and going more than a year without playing in front a meaningful game in front of everybody. But he's been working out in Miami with a trainer who I really trust, who really, really likes what Wiseman's been able to do. His interviews have been really impressive, and that to me means something, that there's a maturity there where, you know, I would compare Wiseman to Hassan Whiteside a lot, but Whiteside has an attitude problem. You can't tell him what he doesn't know. He doesn't try to get better. Wiseman, I'm a little bit more trustworthy of saying, hey, you know what, work on that three in practice, but maybe don't take that your rookie year. Or, hey, look, these are the things that you need to work on. Let's go and watch the film for a few hours. Whiteside wasn't always willing to do that. I think Wiseman has the work ethic. And that's the impression that I'm getting. And there's enough there from a physical standpoint that it's enticing. Offensively, he could be a major lob threat. There's vertical spacing. There's gravity to his game. He's extremely fast. He runs the floor well, which is something I always look for in centers. And so his upside, it's an upside play here with Wiseman. I still think that he can bottom out, that in his floor can end up being Hassan Whiteside or JaVale McGee. A useful player, but not a top five player. But his upside is such that I feel weird leaving him out of my top five. So he's been the biggest riser, only because of what I've heard since his in-person workouts, what I've seen in interviews with him with reporters, and the people who I talk to who have spent time with him. There's just enough people who I trust that I am willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and put Wiseman in my top five. Number four is Denny Advia, who I love him. I know we talk about a consensus top three. I've been saying for a while that Advia should be part of that consensus group, because each of those top three guys in Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball has major strengths, but also huge shortcomings, holes in their games. Avdija's got the strengths as far as his ability to get to the rim, get to the line, score at a high level against high competition. He's productive. He can rebound. And his passing at that height and at that position is so valuable. I know we talk about guys like LaMelo Ball and his passing all the time, but Avdija from a point forward spot can be such a value play there. Defensively, I think he's got potential to guard several different positions. The weak spot is the shooting. He shot slightly more than 50% from the free throw line, was not a great three-point shooter, but again, I trust the work that he's been putting in. I think he's not ever going to be an elite shooter, but I think he can come around to be an above-average shooter. And if you combine an above-average shooting, maybe becomes elite from the corners, with his ability to get to the rim and play make and do those things and guard several different positions, and his competitiveness, which I like, and his just knack for being productive, all those things add up to somebody who I think could have a really long career in the NBA. I like to compare him to Joe Ingles. And if he becomes like better Joe Ingles, that's a nice player. And Joe Ingles is a player that the Warriors like from at a very high level. They would love to have a player like Joe Ingles. And I think Avdija could fill a lot of needs for them. He could play the small ball four. He could play some three for you. Again, he adds that ball handling thing that the Warriors need. And that's why I think he's very much in play for the number two pick. He's number four on my board because I'm a little dubious about his long-term upside. I still love him, but there's just three guys who I like slightly more than Avdija. So this is my this is my big group here. Number three, I've got Devin Vassell out of Florida State. Right off the bat, I know that there was that video of his shooting form coming out. I don't pay a lot of attention to those like one-off videos. I know there's a lot of concerns about, oh, he's changed his shot. He's shooting the ball from behind his head now and all those things. It's something front offices around the league were concerned about when they saw the video. They've asked him about it. He is adamant that he has not changed his shooting form. I don't think he had any reason to. I believe him when he says that. He's got 3-and-D potential right away. And for the Warriors, I think that would be really important because he could slot in on the perimeter and play meaningful minutes right away. He's the best team defender for my money in this draft, which is hugely important in Golden State's scheme, where they're going to ask him to switch and guard a bunch of different positions. And he's a knockdown three-point shooter. And that's why I have Vassell much higher than I have Isaac Okoro, because even though Okoro might be the best all-around defender in the draft, his offensive game is so much further behind than Vassell. And what Vassell projects to be able to do on an NBA team right away as far as just, hey, stand in the corner, stand on the perimeter, make threes, guard your butt off. It reminds me a lot of what Kawhi Leonard was able to do in San Antonio. And I'm not saying Vassell's going to all of a sudden be Kawhi, but I think, you know, Kawhi's first couple of years could be a nice comparison for Vassell's first couple of years, where you're surrounded by championship all NBA Hall of Fame caliber teammates, and it makes your job that much easier. You can start in your role and then maybe develop into an all-star down the line. So Devin Vassell is number three for me. I'm going to get to my top two players on my big board next. This is Locked On Warriors. If you haven't already done so, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. All right, so just to recap, my top five big board for the Warriors. Final big board before Wednesday night's draft. James Wiseman at number five. Denny Avdija at number four. Devin Vassell at number three. My top two guys here. I have a favorite player in this draft, and he's not my number one player. because I still think the number one player has so much upside that it's hard to ignore. But my favorite player in the draft is Tyrese Haliburton, and he comes in at number two on my Warriors big board. There was a time where Vassell was slightly ahead of Haliburton, but Haliburton ends up getting the final nod here because, to me, he has this intangible quality about him. And the more I hear about him, I've talked to his trainer in Las Vegas, I've talked to his head coach at Iowa State, we've talked to Haliburton on Zoom interviews, all of that stuff, everything that I've heard about his workout with the Warriors has got him now at number two, and it's not all that close between him and who is at number one, it's not that far away, I should say, between him and who's at number one. But I got him here at number two. I think he's got an intangible quality about him. He's prepared to be an NBA player right away. He has this star quality about him. When you talk to him, when you hear about what his work ethic is and his dedication to the game and getting better and all those things that he's doing, his trainer told me he's gained weight from 175 pounds to 186 pounds. Most of that weight in his core and his lower body, which is only going to help him guard bigger players in the NBA. His trainer, Joe Abinussar, made a career of getting the most out of guys and their bodies. Guys like Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Garnett, Tayshaun Prince, Chauncey Billups. He has trained all those guys and gotten them to get the most out of their bodies. I think he could do something similar for Haliburton. And he compared Haliburton to Tayshaun Prince. And Tayshaun Prince was a skinny, lanky dude, but he spent his prime years guarding everybody from Kobe Bryant to Carmelo Anthony. And he did a great job on it. I think Haliburton could be a similar player. Yes, he looks thin, but you give him another 10 to 15 pounds, he can improve that strength. I think he can guard a lot of different top scorers in the league. And offensively, I love his upside. He's got such great feel for the game. He can knock down shots from three-point range day one. I think he's got a nice little floater and in-between game that I trust. I think he's going to improve his footwork. There's a little bit of a CJ McCollum thing happening with him in the mid-range that I like. And he'll be able, with his length, I think he's going to be able to get to the rim. He's been working with guys like Gilbert Arenas on his footwork and taking angles to get to the basket and stuff like that. Tyler Hero in last year's draft was knocked because of that lack of upside, but you saw what he was able to do in Miami. And it was in large part because he's smart, because he's got such a great basketball IQ, such a great feel for the game, because he's dedicated on working on those little things. He might not be the best athlete in the draft, but he works on the little things like the footwork and the angles that you use to take to get to the rim. Haliburton does a lot of that kind of stuff, and I think he could have a very similar outcome to a Tyler Hero type, which is a really good all-star caliber player. And for the Warriors, what you're looking for with this pick is to draft a future all-star. I would bet money that Haliburton makes multiple all-star games in his career, and I think he could come in right away, lead the second unit offense for the Warriors, but also because of his versatility and his shooting and his ball handling, play next to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson in smaller lineups. So I love Haliburton. I think he's going to have a great career, whether it be for the Warriors or not. But my number one guy on my board is Anthony Edwards. I know there's been a lot of talk about him and maybe not having great interviews and things like that. I don't care. I'm convinced with his competitiveness. He's a late bloomer. He's just an insane athlete. For all the things that I've sort of dismissed with Haliburton for maybe not being the best athlete, those are the things that lead me to having Anthony Edwards number one, is because it's just his potential is so hard to ignore that it would be really hard to take Haliburton over Edwards if I were the Warriors and I'm picking there at number two. Because to me, Anthony Edwards has a potential to be a Jaylen Brown, a Donovan Mitchell type, where to me, he reminds me of Donovan Mitchell on offense. Quick first step, finishes through contact, can jump out of the building. He's going to be able to finish at the rim right away. And that jump shot is streaky, but I think it's going to come along. And if he's in a better offense than he was in Georgia, I think he's going to look a lot better. And because of that athleticism, I think his upside is multiple all-star, leader of an offense type, a guy who can get you a bucket in the final seconds and the final minutes of the game. And he's a guy who wants the ball in those moments. And that to me matters. And that's what reminds me of Donovan Mitchell. That to me matters when you talk about these guys. You got to want it. You got to want to be great. You got to want to make the shot. You can't be afraid to miss the shot. And to me, Anthony Edwards has a lot of that ability. Defensively, he reminds me a lot of Jaylen Brown. He's 6'5". He's got nearly a 6'10 wingspan. He's long. He's muscular. He's got an ability and a potential to guard several different positions. And I think if he's drafted to a team like the Warriors, like Jaylen Brown was drafted to a team like Boston, he's going to be much better defensively than he was even in college, because he's going to be asked to do a lot less because he's going to be playing with a lot of other talent on offense. And so I think Edwards can come in and be a really good two-way player. I like his potential defensively a lot more than Donovan Mitchell's potential. And that, to me, is why I have him number one on my board. If he's there for the Warriors at number two, I think it's a no-brainer, and you take him. But if the Warriors end up with any of these guys, I think it would be a successful draft. Again, to recap, I've got Anthony Edwards number one, Tyrese Haliburton number two, Devin Vassell number three, Danny Avdia number four. And because a lot of people are just trying to talk me into it, and people who I trust like James Wiseman, I've got Wiseman at number five, even though I want to give a little bit of a shout to guys like Onyeka Okongwu and Patrick Williams. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. Thanks to Built Go for sponsoring the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg, or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. I'll have another show here tomorrow morning, and then make sure to tune in minutes after the draft for an immediate recap of what happened on draft night. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.